Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Today's sermon titled Family History, Reverend David Williams tells us that we must remember what the message of this season of joy is. It is that we have come into a new relationship with our God and Savior. God has joined our messy human family and wants to be part of our struggles. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we gather together today in God's presence, we come before God and come into worship just 2 days before Christmas, Lord knows how many hours. And it is a season of joy, and it's a season of reconnection, and it's a season when we're just so busy and so overburdened that we can barely see straight. We feel ourselves distant from the point of the season. We feel ourselves so drawn by the stress, so stretched out by the additional weight that's placed on us, that we lose sight of the purpose of the season. That purpose is Emmanuel, the idea that God is now with us and among us and part of our families and connection. And yet, we really struggle not to be so distracted that we can't see anything. So right now, as we gather for worship, let's admit that things are a little crazy right now. Let's admit it by praying together the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious God, as we journey along the path that you've set before us, we are easily distracted. We worry over every last step of our walk. Have we prepared enough? Have we done what we need to do? When we find our way to beginning what you've called us to, our steps are hesitant as our attention is drawn away from the path again and again. Gracious One, forgive us for our uncertainty. Forgive us for our lack of focus. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Amen. Now hear the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning will be also drawn from the Gospel of Matthew. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, also found on page 1 of your Pew New Testament. Please now brace yourselves for the Word of God. Matthew writes, "An account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat. and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Matthan, and Matthan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of everyone gathered here be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Why, you may ask, would I have subjected you to 17 verses of that? Lord, help a congregation whose pastor's doing counseling work that involves genealogies for your family history. I'm so, well, not that sorry. But I know it's Christmas. I know it's Christmas, and you want something Christmassy, anything Christmassy, except another list. Because, Lord, have mercy, do you have lists waiting for you at home? Those lists are weighing on your minds as the minutes click away to Christmas Day with the tension-building relentlessness of a self-destruct sequence in some sci-fi flick. Maybe an Alien versus Predator Christmas special. Just don't open the large egg-shaped package unless you want to have Christmas dinner end unpleasantly. In the back of our minds, that list of things we haven't done, that list clicks down, most likely in Siri's voice. A seasonal auto-destruct failsafe has been passed. Your Christmas will be a complete failure, and your children will hate you forever in 19, 18, 17, 16. Lists we have enough of. But we've been counting all this season. It's Advent, so over the last four Sundays, we've counted off candles as we've lit them. And this is a season of arrival. Every Sunday we've been saying Advent means arrival. Arrivals are beginnings. And so you would think you could begin the story of Jesus at the beginning. To begin at the first verse of the first chapter of the first book of the New Testament. You think that would be a good place to start. But man, I don't know. I'm a writer who does struggle as I pull my own efforts at stories together to come up with the best possible beginning. Because you want that best beginning, that hook, that sentence, that paragraph that draws you in to the story and makes you want to keep reading. And is that what Matthew gives us? Here we have what we like to call the greatest story ever told, and it doesn't exactly get off to the most ragingly awesome start. It's the kind of beginning, frankly, that you can imagine being read by Ben Stein in that class in Ferris Bueller's Day Off right after he stopped going Bueller, Bueller, Bueller. The Gospels are supposed to be our greatest tool for evangelism, the best way to teach a broken world about the joyous message of Jesus of Nazareth. And why would Matthew start them this way? That, I think, is why the wise Christian souls who pull together the lists of readings for this season always choose to skip over this passage as we begin. Not least because it's the sort of text that traumatizes readers if they're dragged up from the congregation to crank through it. You don't want a text that makes people weep openly in front of the congregation. I mean, Shealtiel? How are you supposed to... Who names their kids Shealtiel? Probably the same kind of folks who name their children Salmon, which is not pronounced like the fish. You know, it's Salmon, like Pokemon, you know. There's nothing like reinforcing your fear of public speaking like 17 verses of mostly unpronounceable names. And the goal of church generally is to be therapeutic rather than causing you to require therapy. So we begin with... what was our second reading today, usually? As Joseph, the father of Jesus, struggles to come to terms with the reality that his new bride is pregnant and he's not the dad. That passage with Joseph struggling and then getting a vision from an angel and then choosing to accept that child into his family, that feels like Christmas. But this one, this batch of 17 verses, we skip for a reason. So why? Why does the story of Matthew start this way? Why this list of names? Because to understand Jesus, it helps to know the family that he was welcomed into and born into. And that's what Matthew was doing here. Each of those names isn't just a name stuck onto the equivalent of a first century Judean organizational chart. These are people with stories, part of a web of relationships that goes back thousands of years. When Matthew writes this list, he's writing it to people who would have known these folks, who would have remembered them. Because his gospel was written to a community of early Christian believers who were still deeply connected to their Jewish heritage. Every name on that list would have not just been a word, but been a story. These were names charged with old family tales, each one opening up like a flower with a rich narrative all its own. It begins with Abraham, of course, and Abraham we know, because that's where the story of the Jewish family begins. And we know Isaac, his son, and we know Isaac's tricksy son, Jacob, who wheeled and dealed his way through life, stealing blessings from his brother and always with some scheme up his sleeve. And then, well, on this list, there are women, too. On this list that Matthew has slapped together, and those women tend to be the more interesting women on the list, the ones whose names just can't be forgotten unless you're really trying, like Rahab, who they remember because, well, she was working as a foreign prostitute before she married into the family and betrayed her own people for the sake of her new family. And then there was Ruth, who even though she came from a hated people, proved her faithfulness so deeply that, at least in Matthew's story, Rahab's son could not help but fall in love with her. Something to do with that family and foreign women, like father, like son, those listening would have thought. Then there's Bathsheba, the one that David saw bathing on the roof until her beauty in the moonlight overthrew him. And Matthew, as he tells this story, is still a little unfairly cheesed at her to the point where he doesn't speak her name. You know, that woman, the wife of Uriah. But the kid that came out of that sordid family mess was Solomon the Wise. And it's hard to leave him out now, isn't it? Name after name, and mixed in with the names, times of family triumph and family struggle are whispering echoes. King David, says Matthew. That's the only time in this long list before he gets to Messiah that he uses a title. King David. Remember when he was our king. He had a real king once, a weeping, singing one, a beautiful and deeply human and flawed poet, warrior. And in the list, too, a little note, because you can't miss it. Do you remember that time when we were forced out of our homes, when we were forced away from what was precious, when we were torn away from our land and what was sacred and found ourselves owned, struggling to get by in a strange land? And people would nod. Yeah, we remember that. And we kind of know what that feels like now. Matthew gives us a list, sure, but churning right there under that list of names is the story of a family going 42 generations back. And Lord have mercy, but families are many things. Boring is rarely one of those things. Families are messy and complicated and alive. So much so that a little bit of boring might be welcome for a change. This time of year, we feel that strongly. Because this season is the time when our families gather and reconvene. Or they don't. And we feel that, too. It's a time of year when those memories of our family life mix and bubble to the surface, when old patterns written into our blood seem to rise back up and claim our souls for good or for ill. The season can be a time to laugh and to sing and to reconnect and to eat. But it's also a time when we remember the laughter of voices that aren't around the table anymore, that have passed. It's a time when we, from our deep selves, remember old wounds of loss and misunderstanding and betrayal, and they reopen just enough to sting. That mess of family, of our histories, is, I think, why Matthew starts out with that long echo of stories. Here, he says to his listeners, remember who we are. Remember where we came from. And know that into this long mess of our story, we have just brought something new. We've chosen to let that new thing in. Just as Joseph chose to let that new child in. He had the option of not claiming that child as part of his story, but he knew that he needed to welcome him. And from that welcoming, something new was written into the story of that people and into our own stories. That is the point of this season. Into the mess and flesh and chaos of our human family, something new has entered in. Emmanuel, we call it. Meaning God has taken flesh and become part of our community and is working to change our story. That is the new thing that we remember this season. Let it be part of your blood, of your story. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen. This is a complicated season. It's a season filled with the deep richness of our human connection to one another. A time when we remember the rich and life-giving resonances of family and friends. And when we also struggle with some of the broken ways that human beings can live together. Our stories are our strength, and they can also be our struggle. Now in this season, just days away from Christmas, the day we proclaim that God is with us, remember that Emmanuel means that God has become part of that great family, part of our story, part of our flesh and blood. As we rejoice this season, remember that in rejoicing. But in those places where you have struggled in this season, remember that too. God is part of that struggle, part of what we wrestle with in the flesh. And God's strength and hope and new life is present in those places. Remember Emmanuel this season. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.